I ask for your patience today. And you say, why are you asking? Does that make you nervous if I ask you for your patience? Well, we have a lot of material, yeah? Scott says, yeah, that makes me nervous. We have a lot of material to cover this morning. And next week, you know, Dan will have the morning service, and then we'll probably start a new series the following. But God is, I believe, has really put something on my heart. And I think that we need to, it's something that we can't break up, that we need to cover it in one sitting. So, did everybody pack their lunch? So if you could, discipline your mind, put other things out of your mind, and if this is your first time with us, I apologize, but we may take a little bit longer than normal. If you have someplace you plan to be, an appointment you need to be at, then you feel free. You jump up and leave. We won't shout out your name or, well, maybe we might, but no. So be patient with us this morning. I warned Jennifer that, I warned Jennifer that, that to be ready just in case we went over a little bit today. So she's ready. She has some extra things to cover. So we're going to dig into this topic. This topic affects every single one of us. It's something that we've been so ingrained from the world, from certain music, from our parents, from movies, from the culture that all of us were raised in. And what we're going to learn is contrary to that. So you don't change your whole way of thinking in one sitting, but I want to try to give an overview of what love is. We called it the principle of love. It's not the only principle of love, but there is a primary principle of love that you need to understand. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It's a principle that doesn't matter if you're married or single. It's a principle that you need to understand. If you are married, I believe this one principle can rescue a marriage. This one thing. I believe it can. So, this as a segue, I always like to have a segue, a connection to what we have done last. So, let's go to Galatians 5:6. And I think there's some extra Bibles on the table over there if you need one. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing counts is faith expressing itself through love. We dug into faith from a lot of different aspects as we studied through Hebrews. And this is the finest, the best, the ultimate expression of faith is having love. But we need to know what it is, and it needs to be God's type of love before it really makes a difference, before it counts. So, we will talk about marriage some today, but this is not just about marriage, because the principle that we're dealing with applies to all of our relationships. This is a primary scriptural principle that all of our relationships are to be founded on. I think you'll realize this is not what we've been taught, and this is not how we interact and engage our world or the people around us. So, this principle applies to marriage. It applies to our relationship with God. It applies to our relationships within the body. And it applies to our relationship to the world. Now that was our outline. We're going to cover those things today that I just spewed out there at you. God uses marriage to illustrate love and relationships. So, a study of marriage is not just, we're not doing an in-depth study of marriage here this morning, but a study of marriage is not just for married people. Because God uses marriage to illustrate some truths about Himself and some truths about love. In fact, that's a foundational reason for marriage, and the way He designed marriage is to illustrate some things to the church and to the world. So, this is not, when we're talking specifically about marriage, it's not just for married people. And again, we're not trying to do a complete study of marriage here this morning, although it will be a primary point. So I'll remind you of some things we've talked about in the past about marriage, because this is going to be just one little bloop about marriage. So, I'll remind you of some things we've talked about in the past. Today stands alone. You don't have to have had the past teaching to understand and to put into practice what we talk about today. But a principle of marriage is love and respect. That's husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. That is a primary principle, a foundational principle of marriage. If you don't have that principle down, then marriage is probably not going to work. That's a primary need of a man. It's a primary need of a woman. And then there's a downward cycle there. If you've ever noticed, husbands, if they don't love their wives, then wives don't respect their husbands. And then you get this spiral going down and nobody stops it. It just goes down and it gets stuck. And she says, he doesn't treat me like he loves me. Well, she doesn't respect me. Well, if he had earned my respect, well, who said respect had to be earned in the regard of marriage? If love doesn't have to be earned, then there's respect in that sense that God is talking about here within marriage. So that's, but we won't go down that road right now. Love and respect in marriage. It's a primary principle. Different roles in marriage. Different roles, but equal value. Unity within marriage. Moving towards unity in every aspect of marriage. The needs of a man and the needs of a woman. Remember, we looked at those things. Those are different. A man has different needs than a woman. And when a man thinks that a woman's needs match his, and he just tries to meet those needs all the time, he's messing up. Because there are different needs that a man has and different needs that a woman has. And then we talked about the love languages, where the different things like some people interpret love through gifts, through conversation, through service, through touch. There's different ways that love, that people receive love, and it's good to know the love language of your spouse or even the people, just your friends and your the people that you work with. So right there, what I did, I gave you an example. I went from general principle right down to specific actions. Now, what most people like to talk about is specific actions. Like you probably wanted me to keep talking about love languages. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Or how is a man different from a woman? That kind of sparks my interest a little bit. Those are very specific things. Those are good to talk about. But see, you probably can't even remember. We talked about the needs of a man and needs of a woman. You probably couldn't name all those that we talked about. Those are hard to remember. Even love languages. I just gave you a review of that, so you might could remember those. But if we get down the primary principle, the specifics will most likely fall in place. So what I'm going to give you this morning is a primary principle of all relationships. Of your marriage, your relationship with God, with the people around you. And then the specifics, well, it's still good to talk about the specifics. We won't give up talking about the specifics, but yet the principles, if you can get this principle down, then this can line out the specifics of your different relationships. Because just working on the specifics won't get you too far in the long run. It helps for a few days. You know, we're used to, oh man, my marriage is just dying here. It's not doing well. We'll take a second honeymoon. We'll start having a date night. Well, those things are really good to do. But those things don't save a marriage. Those are specifics. If you don't change the foundation that you're operating off of, then nothing changes in the long run. So, the love principle. That's where we are this morning. Now I have to tell you that this principle we're talking about works with believers. It's not that if somebody is not a true believer, if they have not trusted Christ for their salvation, this principle does not really work. It's not that you can't sit there and get something. You can gain something from what we're going to talk about this morning, but to really put it into action requires that you are a believer. 1 John tells us, this is kind of a paraphrase in my own words, but God is love. If you don't know God, then you don't know love. Love comes directly from God. So if we don't have God, if we're not in a right relationship with God, then we cannot show true love, God's definition of love. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have an emotion of love and not have any interest in God at all. You still can have an emotion of love. But most people automatically think of love as an emotion. I'm falling in love. So that, people think that, what is that? How do you know you're falling in love? Well, I feel it. I feel it. So if you don't feel it anymore, have you fallen out of love? For you single people, this is a good thing to know when you get married. Because I'll tell you what, I don't care how strong that feeling is of falling in love, it's going away. I'm sorry to tell you that. That's not the end of the story, though, so don't give up and go home. So, if you don't feel it, does that mean you have fallen out of love? Obviously, if that's how you knew you fell in love, you felt it, then you don't feel it anymore. Well, I've fallen out of love. I'm done. Now, that emotion is powerful. Think about what it's caused you or somebody you know to do in the past. Some pretty crazy things that that emotion of love has caused you to do. You know, drive for hours and hours. You know, you don't need sleep. You don't need to eat. That's a powerful emotion. And it's memorable. Like all intense things. You remember car wrecks, don't you? Intense moments. You remember falling in love. It's an intense moment. But the emotion, no matter how powerful, is unstable. And it's temporary. Think of Hollywood. Do not doubt that when you see those couples on the cover of the little magazine that you shouldn't pick up in the grocery store, or follow their stories on the internet. I see all y'all follow those guys. All those fireworks of Brad Pitt and whoever else he's with this week. But don't doubt that those guys have real emotion. Don't doubt that they haven't really, in the terms we just use, fallen in love. Don't say, oh, it's just the press. They really have. I believe, you think of those beautiful people, man, they fall head over heels. They see all these, then they see somebody else beautiful the next week, but for this week, they're in love. They feel it. It's strong. It's powerful. Think about youthful romance. Maybe when you were younger, you think about how exciting that is. Then it fades and it's gone. Now, you may entertain some continual, that person that you had those feelings for is kind of gone and out of your life, then you don't have to be around them and see how they really are, then you can kind of maintain that sort of fantasy that's not true in your mind and think, well, I still have that. But if you were to marry them and live with them and get to know them and see their, you know, a few more details, you might not have that feeling for as long as you think. Emotions are good. I'm thankful for emotions. I'm an emotional person and I'm thankful for those things. But they are not what we build on. That's not what we build relationships on. The right foundation will produce the right emotions. The right foundation will produce the right emotions. Emotion is usually a response to a stimuli. Trust me, if you haven't been with us much, we will get into the Word. These are principles from the Word. I'll prove that to you in just a little bit. Normally we go through a study of the book of the Bible and we stay in the Word the whole time, but I'm kind of doing an overview with some broad principles here. Emotion is usually a response to a stimuli. It feels good, so it must be good. How many songs have been written about that theme? It feels good, so it must be right. It must be good. It feels so good. Visual is a stimuli. If a man can fall in love going one trip to the grocery store three times. Emotions stirred up. Or you fall in love with a puppy. It's cute and it's cuddly. Or your eyes meet across a crowded room. Fireworks go off and it's love at first sight. And maybe you met like that, your spouse, and that's okay. That's okay. But we better know what true love and what the source is, or we'll be like those Hollywood relationships that I just talked about. In fact, we really are like that. The church is like that. You know that the divorce rate in the church is only fractions different than the divorce rate in the world. What does that tell you? It tells me the church does not understand the principle of love, the foundational principle that relationships are built on. The church does not understand that. Or it could be that we just stay in something just out of obedience or loyalty, and there's really nothing there anymore. We just stay out of obedience. We stay in even in a friendship just out of loyalty, rather than there being really something there. We will see how emotion is a part of scriptural love, but it's not founded on emotion. By the way, if you're single, there's not going to be something in here about how to find a husband or a wife. So I'm sorry, we could get into that maybe at a at a later time. And this is not for you to analyze how you met your wife or your husband. So don't, it doesn't matter. God is love. 1 John 4:16. Let's go there. 4:16 and 17. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in Him lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like Him. So you guys stay with me here. This takes a little discipline. But I'll tell you, you understand this, and it can protect you from a lot of heartache in present relationships and in future. Love comes from God. You must know God and be in a right relationship with Him to have His type of love. And we are commanded to have it. Jesus told His disciples, as I have loved you, you love one another. That's in John 15. As I have loved you, the same love, the way that I loved you, you love one another. That was a command. I know you're thinking, I know there are different types of love, okay? There's different Greek words that mean, you know, phileo for friendship, love, and eros, and agape. There's different loves. But this, what the principles we're talking about apply to all types of love. The foundation is the same. God is love. God knows how to love. God invented it. He came up with it. It came from Him. And if we're going to love, we need to learn it from Him, not from the world or from a novel or from a movie or from just our own thoughts we come up with. If we love, we must have godly love. Now don't worry. Don't be afraid. This love includes romance and the like. God's love includes those things. Consider this. God loved you before you had done anything to please Him. Before you had done anything wrong. Before you were cute. Before you even looked His way. While you were His enemy, He loved you. He loved you so much that He suffered and He died for you before you existed even. Now that's some kind of love. That is some kind of love. So what did you deserve to do God's love? To receive God's love? What did you do to earn God's love? If the Bible tells you God loves you, what did you do to earn that love? So we should be getting somewhere here. That ought to tell you how God feels about you today. If you didn't do anything to earn it, then it's not based on your behavior. God's love is not based on... He loved you before the beginning of time. So that's what the Bible tells us. So His love for you is not based on behavior. Now, God feels love for you. That's an emotion. But we'll get to that in a minute. Consider the love you... I want to get this point home to you because I'm going against the flow of what you've been taught all of your life. Consider how you feel or how it's possible to feel about a child before that child is even born. You don't even know the child yet, but you can choose to love and commit to that child before you have even connected with it. Before you've been won over by the first smile or the first daddy. Before any of those things have happened, you can love that child. You can have the emotion of love even before you've held him. Now, of course, that grows with time. Now, consider in the Old Testament, a couple could love each other and have true love for one another, true romantic, emotional love, and they weren't even the ones that picked their spouse. Their parents did it for them. It was arranged, in most cases. Rebecca and Isaac. That's a romance story between those two. They didn't even pick each other. Their parents didn't even pick them. A servant picked. Now, I'm not recommending we go back to these things, to arranged marriages. But what do these examples of true love all have in common? Here's some things they have in common. Think back to those examples of God loving you, of a mother or a father loving a child that's not even born yet, of those things that we just talked about. A choice was made, an act of the will, and a commitment to that person. A choice to love was made. Pastor Don Landis up in Jackson Hole narrowed the love principle down to these four things that we're going to go over here. To four points that will apply in all types of love and relationships. It's eating from the good tree. You see, there's a good tree and there's a bad tree. Matthew 7:17. We eat from the good tree. That's when we live by God's principles. We get good fruit. If there's bad fruit in your marriage, it's because you've been eating from the wrong tree. If there's bad fruit in your relationships, if there's bad fruit in your relationship with God, you're living by the wrong principles. You're eating from the wrong tree. You need to learn God's principles and eat from the good tree. And that's what we're going to learn this morning. We're going to learn God's principles about love. Because Satan has an imitation tree. It looks good, it feels good, but when you eat from it, you get the wrong fruit. First, four principles of this. Four principles of love in general, and then we'll talk specific relationships. Love is not first an emotion, but an act of the will. We're to love with God's love. Was not God's love first an act of the will? True emotion in God's plan follows true committed love. True emotion follows true committed love. Therefore, when we choose to love, then we feel in our heart, what we feel in our heart is in line with our commitment of love. Number four, and we'll get into these things in a little more detail. A relationship, including all the relationships we just mentioned, a relationship can die and come back to life again when God's way is followed. Example, is there no romance in your marriage? What to do? We'll get to that. Part C there. Fall in love with God. We're taking this first. It's the primary. It's the most important relationship. We have to get this right before the other things can get right. Now pay attention, because you may be doing fine in one area. You may already understand this principle and you may be put it into practice in one area. Yet, not in another. And you get bad fruit in the area that you don't put it into practice. So put God's principles to practice in the weak areas too. So, here we go. How do you love a God you have never seen? How do you love a God you have never seen? Are you waiting for a feeling? Are you waiting for an overcome with emotion of a love for God that maybe you have seen other people have? And you're waiting for that to happen to you, where you can love God like they love God. Here's a hint. It starts with God, not with you. 1 John 4:7-11. And then verse 19. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. You have to know God, be in a right relationship with Him to love. True love. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then verse 19. We love because He first loved us. You must receive God's love or you have no true love for anyone. Did you catch that? You must receive God's love or you can love no one. You must believe that God loves you. If you have a problem receiving God's love, you will not be able to love anyone. You'll have a poor view of yourself also. An inappropriate poor view of yourself. Not just that I'm a sinner. You'll have a wrong view of how God relates to you. You have to be a believer to receive God's love. You have to have accepted Jesus' death on the cross in place of your own to receive God's love. First, accept His death, His love, which is demonstrated by Him dying on the cross. You see, if you don't accept that, you're refusing His initial step of love, so you can't have God's kind of love for others. But even after that, you must continue to accept and enjoy His love for you. This is the starting place of love. You must receive God's love for you. 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. If you call yourself a child of God and you do not believe that God has lavished, gone overboard, thrown all the good stuff at you. If you do not believe that God has lavished His love on you, you need to get that in order and believe that He loves you. Or how are you going to live this life and how are you going to show God's love to other people? This is the starting place of love. Ephesians 1:3-5. I want you to believe what you read this morning, what you hear. I want you to believe it. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He hasn't blessed me. My life is just not going. It says He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, and He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and His will. God gets pleasure out of loving you. He delights to love you. He chose us. He loves us with the same love that He commands us to have. A choosing love. He commands us to love. So, you can choose to love God back. If you're not loving God back, and you are a believer, it's because you are choosing not to. You choose to love God. And what follows that? Emotion. You choose to love God. You commit your life to Him. We'll talk about that in a minute. That is followed by emotional response that we are built. It's built into us. We respond with emotion and we love God back. God chooses to love us and He delights in us, in you. God chooses to love you. He delights in you. If you're not choosing to love Him back, you are spurning, rejecting the love of God. Let's go to Jeremiah 31:3. Now, I realize this is talking to the Israelites at this point, but this is pointing towards the character and the nature of God here, of who He is and what He's like. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I wish that you could enjoy that. Choose to love God back. You're commanded to. God doesn't command you to pull an emotion out of the air, but we are commanded to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That is that we are commanded to love God. When we choose to love God, an emotion will follow. This is called a first place love. To love God with your heart, mind, and soul. That means when we choose to love God, we put Him first in everything. He is at the center of everything we do and every decision we make. That's a choice love. Some people are running from God. Or they're just running around and too busy. Stop and receive God's love or you won't have anything worth giving to family, to the body, or to the lost. Think back to Hebrews when we were talking about the discipline of the Lord. Some people are like a child getting a spanking by their parents, thinking that, oh, my parents must really hate me. Oh, they must disdain me because they're giving me this spanking. But if a spanking or any discipline is given in the right way to a child, the child should be able to look back into the face of their parent and see tears in the eyes of their parent. All of God's discipline is out of love. While you're sitting there thinking God's hating you, God's loving you. And we can choose to love Him back. By the way, sideline, side trail. Little point for you parents, giving discipline to your children. You'll sure make an easier transition for them if you discipline them in the same way that God disciplined you. If you have to do that kind of discipline, then there's tears in your eyes. Not a red face of anger. Remember, God's anger for you has already been spent. Well, God must be sure mad at me. I failed today. No. God may very well discipline you if you have sinned until you repent, or to conform you to His image, to train and equip you. But God's not mad at you. If you're a believer, God's not mad at you. God's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. Why not? I did this. I think like this. I'm rejecting Him. All of His anger was spent on Jesus at the cross. Now, you added to His suffering on the cross. You sure did, and I did too. But He's not mad at me. All of His anger was spent on Jesus. Whatever correction He gives me is to shape me and conform me, to get me back in line, to make me more like Jesus, to help me be able to love, to live like Him, to bear fruit in my life. That's what the Bible says. Believe it. Believe it. And then get the good fruit. Don't believe it. Get the bad fruit. Eat from the right tree. Back to loving God. He loved us first. Revelation 2:5. Well, let's read 4 and 5. Sorry. Revelation 2:4 and 5. Yet, this is talking to the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus, man, they were doing a lot of things right. They knew the Word. They were doing good works. They were doing a lot of things right. But this is what's said to them. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You'll see that go together a lot. First love. You see those words right next to each other. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place. He's telling them you have left first place love. That means other things have replaced God. That means your focus is on other things besides God. It means other things are now been put ahead of God. You've stopped putting Him first. That's what the message is there. They stopped putting Him first. He's saying, you put me first at one time in your life. You're no longer putting me first. And it's not good. He put you first when He went to the cross. The God of the ages, Creator, God put. Now, that very putting you first is going to give Him glory throughout eternity. Yet, the reality of it is, He did. Lowly sinner creatures that we are, God actually put us ahead of Himself and died on the cross. Have I stopped putting God first? That's the question there. Have I stopped? If I don't have first place love for Him, then I'm not going to get the good fruit. I'm not going to be able to love like He desires us to love. He's saying, you don't love me like you used to. I don't have first place love. Matthew 6:21, which we already talked about a little earlier today, says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Are you investing your time, your money, your thoughts, your energy into your relationship with God? Choosing to love Him. Putting your treasure into that relationship. And He gives us another hint there in Revelation. He says, remember the relationship. Now, God does this often. This is something He does throughout the Old Testament. Many of the Psalms are recalling times of deliverance, times that God has delivered the people. It's remembering how God interacted. It's remembering the good times. It's remembering God's love for them. He's telling them to put up a pile of stones here and remember how I led you across this river, how I led you into the promised land. Or they would write a song remembering God. Even an official reminder like the Passover feast. That was simply remember what I did. Remember how I think back, how I delivered you out of slavery. Remember what I did. How does that apply to us? Take a walk. Think about how He drew you out of darkness. Think about when your love was fresh for God. Think about when you were amazed at the cross. Think about when that burden of sin was first lifted from your life and you felt freedom and you had all this flood of emotion for Jesus and what He did, and He was the center of your life and you were going to follow Him and never forsake Him. And you have forsaken Him because you've put something else ahead of Him and you don't love Him like you used to love Him. And He says, remember when? Think back. You think back and meditate on these things. Take a long walk and think how it used to be with God. Think how you used to think about Him and think how you think about Him now. Have you gone backwards in your relationship with Him? That's what He tells us there. Remember in Revelation 2:5. I've got a corny little thing to help you remember. You guys have probably never heard of R.C. Cola, have you? Anybody heard? Have you heard R.C. Cola? Oh, good. I don't even know if they make. I think they still make R.C. Cola in South Georgia, but I haven't seen it anywhere else. Montana, good. There's a love principle that R.C. Cola can help us remember. Remember, choose, commit. RCC. Remember, choose, commit. That's how we make a choice to love. I'm not saying those are in order of importance. That just fits R.C. Cola. You choose to love God. You commit yourself fully to Him and to His purpose. You remember what He's like and you think about His love for you. You choose to love Him. The emotion will follow. A scriptural rekindling of your love. But you must receive His love or your walk and your relationships will become dry. And they'll just go up and down with your feelings. Just the emotions that happen to come your way. And you become a slave to your emotions. Like those, most of those Hollywood people. You become a slave to your emotions rather than building the foundation. And you choose and let your emotions come behind that. And then you can enjoy your emotions rather than letting them run you around. Fall in love with your husband or your wife. So we cover most of the principles there that we need to cover. We won't go into great detail here. But it's just a little bit of application, a little bit of a reminder of a relationship that this can apply to. So you woke up one week after being married and you said, oh my goodness, what did I do? I didn't say that. Or maybe. Hold it down, Liz. Or maybe a year or two. Or 15 years. Or 20 years. At some point. I don't know of a relationship that's that happened with. I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. Dead. I've fallen out of love. Or worse, you just feel nothing. So raise your hand if you've ever... No, never mind. So you plan a date night. You take a second honeymoon. Like I said before, all those things are great. But they're not the answer. It's good. Take long walks, holding hands in the park. Those things are good. Those things are not the answer. That's, God never commands us anywhere to do that. I'm sorry, ladies, but men, I'm telling you, just I'm advising you to do that. But God never commands you to do that. He commands you to love your wife. He takes it right down to the bare, the bones, the foundation. Love. So who has ever felt that way about God? You lost the feeling. You lost that loving feeling. For your church, for your friends, the answer is the same. Where your treasure is, where you place value, where you see treasure, what you invest in, what you commit to, the same principles apply here. Remember, commit, choose the same thing in your marriage relationship. What I told you about thinking about God, you can take a walk. You can think about your spouse. You can think about when it was new. You can think about the good things that you did together. I think that is scriptural. You think back and you remember and then you commit and then you choose to love. There's nothing. Then you say, she's first in my life or he's first in my life. I make that commitment to you, O God. I choose to love her in you. I choose to love her. You can still be in love when you're older. You don't have to take the natural route of becoming the Bickersons. That's the way couples go, you know? They turn into the Bickersons. Whether it's 6 months down the road or a year or 20 years, they end up just being these people that just correct each other 90% of the time. They argue over, you know, the best route to the 7-Eleven. it's constant. The Bickersons. It's miserable to be around. And it's miserable to be in. But you don't have to go that route. You can choose to love. Now don't tell me, don't come to me guys or ladies afterwards and say, I tried this, but they just didn't respond. People sometimes don't respond. People didn't respond to Jesus either, always in the right way. But He died anyway, and He loved anyway. Now, we can't get into all of it here this morning. But remember, God has a deep purpose for marriage that communicates His love. God has a deeper purpose than just you and your spouse. Because He designed and He intends to communicate something about love to the world and something about Himself to the world and to the body. Let's go to, we won't go there, but you read it on your own time. Ephesians 5, 22 to 33. You won't be able to get around it. God has designed marriage to be more than just about you and your spouse. Help each other to love God. Help each other to love the body and to love the lost. But you must choose to love each other, and the emotion will follow. RCC, RC Cola. Remember, commit, choose. Fall in love with the body. We're closing in here. We're almost done. John 13:34. Stay with me. I want to give you the whole overview. John 13:34. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Think, how did God love you? Before you had done anything to earn it, God chose to love you. He chose to love you. He committed Himself to you to the point of death. We are to love one another with the love of God. We choose to love one another. Then the emotion follows. Love one another. There is a first place love for your wife or your husband. But there is also a priority kind of love for the body. Think of who the body is. Who is the body? The body is called the bride of Christ, purchased by His precious blood of great, great value. There is a great value in the person, other people in the body. They are and you are the bride of Christ. Are you intimately involved in and committed to the building up, the refining, the equipping, the loving, and the preparing to present to Christ a spotless bride? You are to be involved in that process. Or do you often have resentment towards the body? Or do you ignore the body? Not really being in love with the bride of Christ. Maybe it's just an obligation and you just do it because you're supposed to do it, rather than being in love with the body, in love with the bride of Christ. 1 John 3 calls us to love one another and lay down our lives for our brothers. We all can be hard to love sometimes, can't we? Even me. Yeah. Even you. We can all be hard to love sometimes. So we better have more than just our feelings and emotions to draw from. If all I have to draw from are my feelings and my emotions, and you're not treating me very nicely, which someday you may go through one little short phase of not treating me nicely, am I going to stop loving you because of that? I better have something more to draw from than just my own. I may just wake up in a bad mood, so I better have something more to draw from. I need to draw from the love of God by remembering, by committing, and by choosing to love you. Fall in love with the lost. As with the rest of these, part F on your outline, as the rest of these, our love is to be the maximum, impossible love. How do you love someone that's out there just rebelling against everything and everybody? How did Jesus love them? He chose to love them. The only way we can love them is by relying on Him and choosing, because He told us we have the power, we can choose, we can love like Christ, we can love unto the death. And there are many examples throughout history of people laying down their lives for the lost, for people that were ugly and mean and rebellious. Yet, there are many examples of people laying down their life for that purpose because they loved with the love of Christ. They didn't just love out of their own emotions and resources. They loved with the love of Christ. But the one we focus on is Christ, who died for us, He died for me, He died for you, while you were in that group. While you were in that group of rebellious, ugly sinners, He still died for you. Should we not love the lost with the love of Christ? Should we not? Are we not called to love the lost with the love of Christ? Remember where you were. Commit and choose to love them. Conclusion. How will they know? How will others know? How will believers know about this walk of abiding in Christ? You see, every believer doesn't know what it means to abide in Christ, to rest in Him, to be surrendered, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Every believer is not taught that. How are they going to know about that? So you're going to get out your Bible and teach all of them? Well, if you get the chance, do that. But how they know is by the love in your life, by how you love them, by how you love the body, by how you love the lost, and by how you love God, by how you love your spouse. And how are the lost going to know? How are they going to know about eternity with God? How are they going to know about the love of God, about salvation, about peace with God, about this unseen world of eternalness around them? They will know by our love. Not by our apologetics, not by our arguments. They will know by our love. Our love in all of these areas that we talked about. So, are you loving others based on their behavior? Even withholding your love to change their behavior. That's a common tactic. Or just showing love based on whimsical emotions. On how I feel at the moment. Is that how God loves you? That is not how God loved you. Or me. He chose to love me. And He stuck with it. And He even delights to love me. God has emotional love towards you. Well, how can you say that? Because I know the principle. He chose to love you. He committed Himself to you. And He loves you. He has emotion towards you. He delights in you. So are you spurning His love? Are you rejecting Him? God loved us. They will know by our love. Now, this will not happen in your life because you heard it today. Even if you sat here and enjoyed it. Even if you were awake the whole time. It doesn't mean that it's going to show up in your life. You have to spend some time with this. You have to follow through. And you have to get ready to show love at opportune times. You have to get with God on this. And you have to pay attention. It may be that all those areas except one. Don't fool yourself, please, by thinking you have it down and you and all the. I know you guys. I know me. I think I'm missing in some of these areas. I need to pay attention. And I need to learn how to love, to remember, to commit, and to choose. And then, praise God, He gives us the emotion of love. So think about those things. I pray sincerely that you will, and I will, not just leave it here today.